Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at ReserveBar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at ReserveBar.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
The Volume.
Get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers who deposit $5 or more can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 back in a bonus bet. You guys know that my other sport is the NBA, and there is no better sport to gamble on. Football's fun. College basketball's fun, but the NBA is great. You've got some high-scoring games, some great prop bets to make. You can do it all on DraftKings Sportsbook. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Mannix. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 if your first bet loses. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code Mannix. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. One no-sweat bet per new customer. Issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promos for deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This is Boxing with Chris Mannix.
Oh, somebody punch him in the face.
Anthony Joshua is a composed and ferocious finisher. Watch this.
Andy Ruiz is the heavyweight champion.
Hosted by SI's Chris Mannix.
That was my moment.
Now with interviews, analysis, and everything going on in the world of boxing.
When you have talent, you are given another chance.
Here's Chris Mannix.
All right, second podcast this week. Starting to like doing two podcasts. Starting to like getting more content out onto the podcast feed. If you missed the earlier episode, it was a conversation with Paul Spadafora, the former lightweight champion whose career was plagued by demons, by drug and alcohol issues. Just a lot of things were going on in the life of Paul Spadafora while he was one of the top lightweights in all of boxing. We'll get into all of that in the last episode. So go back, check that out if you haven't heard it yet. This week's episode, or this episode that you're about to listen to right now, more of a meat and potatoes boxing discussion. I am down in Orlando, Florida, the site of the Edgar Berlanga, Patrick McGrory super middleweight fight. A lot on the line for Edgar Berlanga in this one. He has got to come up, not just with a win, but a big win, an emphatic win, to put himself in the mix for big fights against Canelo Alvarez, against Jaime Munguia, all the top-tier guys at 168. His promoter, Eddie Hearn, joins me to sit down and talk about that. We get into all the gossip, all the rumors that have flooded social media about Canelo Alvarez over the last couple of days. Eddie offers his insight into that. We also talk about the making of the Ryan Garcia-Devin Haney fight. The press tour for that event is going to be next week in New York, in LA. I'll be at the New York stop for that fight. Then Berlanga. What does Eddie Hearn need to see from Edgar Berlanga in this big matchup with Patrick McCrory? A little bit later on, Berlanga himself drops by. And look, we get into the Quigley fight, which was it was a clear win, but not one that left a lot of people overly impressed with Edgar Berlanga. We talk about some of the changes that he's made and why he feels like he's at his best right now going into this fight. So stick around for that. Eddie Hearn, Edgar Berlanga, two really good conversations on the show. One quick housekeeping note. I mentioned on the last episode, we are looking into doing a live show in advance of the Ryan Garcia-Devin Haney fight. I was surprised to learn this week that that fight would be in New York. I had been expecting it to be in Las Vegas over the last couple of weeks since that fight came together. It will be in New York at the Barclays Center, which actually is even better for doing a live show. A lot of people in New York City, a lot of people in and around New York City, easy city to get to if you want to come to this Garcia-Haney fight. I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to do a live show either Friday or maybe even Saturday afternoon before the Haney-Garcia fight. I still want to get the feedback of this audience on that. If we do a live show, would you be interested in going? Would you buy a ticket? Would you want to be there and sit there for an hour, hour and a half, and listen to me and to Sergio and a whole bunch of other boxing people talk boxing for, you know, an hour or so on this feed? So let me know what you think. Get at me either in the comments on Apple Podcasts, social media. A bunch of you have commented to me already. Love the feedback. Love this audience. You guys are as passionate as any audience in the podcast business. So I would love to get to hear from you as to whether or not you'd be interested in going to a live show. All right, so there's that. Now, here is my conversation with Eddie Hearn.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Now, I'm supposed to talk here about what I remember and what I loved about my first car. And that's easy for me to do because I still have my first car. And as long as it keeps running, and so far so good, I intend to have that car probably until the day I die. That's how much I love that car. It is like a child to me. Now, it does require some upkeep, and that's why I'm grateful for a place like eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at reservebar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at reservebar.com.
All right, Eddie Hearn is here. Matchroom Boxing's got a big show this weekend, headlined by super middleweight Edgar Berlanga. going up against Patrick McCrory. It's a fight you can watch live on DAZN. Eddie is with me for his semi-regular State of Boxing appearance. And I know you've got your British guys, your Coogans, your Parsons, but
you're right up there.
This
now,
is
Chris.
The American yes. audience you're tapping
you're,
into.
You're
Eddie.
Right up there now.
We are 40, 50,000 strong every week, Eddie.
There you go.
We need this.
Welcome, everybody.
This conversation. We're actually thinking about doing a live show in New York before Garcia Haney. Would you appear at the
Absolutely.
Live show?
Absolutely. If I'm not kicked out by Oscar by then.
That's a separate conversation there. I want to get into this fight. You can hear the music in the background. Berlanga McCrory weigh-in about to start here in Orlando. But the news that is running rampant on social media is what is next for Canelo Alvarez. It's everywhere. And there are like breadcrumbs being dropped by everyone out there. You had Canelo on Instagram posting a picture at a poker table that had Omaha on it, which led people to believe that Terrence Crawford was in the mix. You have Samson Lukowicz out there saying they have made an offer in excess of $55 million for Canelo to fight David Benavidez. Then just today, you've got Eddie Reynoso saying no one, including you, Eddie Hearn, has offered Canelo a fight against David Benavidez. So, as we sit here on Friday, what do you know about the future of Canelo Alvarez?
I know that he'll fight anybody. I mean, that's the first thing. You know, I've worked with him long enough to know that. I know that he's a smart businessman. I know he doesn't like to mess around. He doesn't like to be messed around as well. But if I'm looking at it commercially, the fight for him right now is Jaime Munguia. You know, I think that's a massive fight. Munguia was fantastic against Ryder. He stopped John Ryder. It's an all-Mexican fight. The Benavidez fight is huge as well. And you know, even Edgar Berlanga, you know, a fight that could be huge with Mexico, Puerto Rico. I appreciate Edgar's got to look good this weekend. May need another flagship win. But, you know, I don't see why not. So I think at the stage that Sal's at now, he wants people that come to fight. He wants probably younger people with ambition that come to actually give the public great fights, because I think he's probably feeling a little bit frustrated that people keep coming to fight him that don't actually try and walk him down, engage and try and win the fight. Mm. You know, particularly in the last fight against Charlo. And I think he probably feels that in the next fight, potentially against the brother, that would happen again. Mm. And let's be honest, who wants to see that fight? So he's obviously in the middle of a agreement or a promise from PBC. And I guess it's a case of whether they can deliver on their promises. I honestly never known him to not accept a fight, to turn down a fight, to say no to anybody, but it's got to make sense. And you know, I'm guessing they've had a plan, but the plan might have deviated, and now it's up to Sal to see what his next move is.
Why do you think that the Benavidez fight is not an obvious fight for him? Because even if the $55 million is not true, it's probably still the biggest purse he can get to fight anyone at super middleweight or below. Benavidez is the most accomplished guy. He hasn't fought yet. And to your point, he comes to fight. He's not going to be, you know, running the way Jermell Charlo did. Why is that fight, in your mind, with what you know, not the obvious
pick? It is the obvious fight, but obviously they had a plan. You know, when they sat down on this three-fight plan, by the sounds of things, they didn't sign an agreement that had David Benavidez in it. Otherwise, Sal would be taking that fight. So, you know, like I've spoke to Sal a couple of times, I know he'd take the David Benavidez fight. Absolutely no problem with that at all. I think he's excited by that fight. He's excited by Munguia. He's excited by Berlanga, because he's excited by people that come to fight. He's also earned the right to do whatever he wants. Like, he's done everything in the sport. He's created all the legacies, won all the championships, and he's going to take the fights he wants to fight. But I reiterate, those are the fights that excite him. And I know the Benavidez fight would excite him, but he's obviously in the middle now of a contract or a plan or a promise. And if the promise or plan falls apart, maybe you don't see the Benavidez fight. So, you know, he knows exactly what he's doing. Him and Eddie Reynoso, smart operators. And, you know, I'm sure they'll make the right moves.
To your point, he signed a three-fight deal with PBC. Do you get any sense that it might not be a three-fight deal with PBC, in that, you know, if he's going to do Munguia Berlanga fights, that brings him back to your neck of the woods?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, we never had anything official. I did say this at the time. You know, Sal's always been against, you know, especially over the last 3 or 4 years, signing a longer term deal. I think the longest one we did with him was 2. So I was a bit surprised when I heard the 3. I don't know, you know, the legalities of it. But if there's a plan that was originally not being adhered to or potentially deviated upon, he could make another move. Mm. Obviously, we can make the Jaime Munguia fight instantly on DAZN. Munguia is exclusive to DAZN with Golden Boy. So that's an obvious move to make. We also have Edgar Belanga. But, you know, I think Sal will, you know, certainly look to keep some of his independence to be able to do basically what he wants.
So you had a brief flirtation with Gervonta Davis. That was one of several flirtations you've had with Gervonta Davis over the years. What was your reaction when it was reported that Gervonta is going to face Frank Martin some point in the next few months?
Yeah, I don't know, really. I don't have too much to say on it. I mean, look, we made Gervonta an offer with a, you know, 8-figure minimum with plenty of upside. Could have made him up to probably $20 million to fight Conor Benn. I actually thought, you know, I mean, look, I think Conor Benn's a really good fighter, but he hasn't yet beat anyone of elite world level. And I think that's why Gervonta called him out and said, that's easy work for me. But a bit strange when they're not really willing to even sit down and entertain a conversation to fight a guy that they may, you know, call out as easy work. Mm. So Frank Martin, yeah, I mean, don't know. Is it a good fight? Yeah, I guess so. Not really. I know Frank Martin. Don't think anybody else really does. Mm. But he's going to do what he's going to do. You know, I think some people are very good at talking to people and convincing people that they need to, you know, stay in their lane and do this rather than actually going and have a sensible business conversation with somebody else. Mm. You can really pollute someone's mind. You know, I mean, bear in mind, I've met Gervonta Davis for about 2 minutes in my life and we had a really nice conversation just before the weigh-in when he beat Pedraza for the world title. Like, the fact that he's not even willing to open up a conversation for $20 or $25 million in a fight that, you know, he probably thinks he's quite straightforward for him, just shows you the pollution that exists in boxing. But these are smart people, you know, and they like to, you know, make sure that people don't deviate from the original plan that might have been set in about 8 years ago.
So where do you turn now with Conor Benn? It was just a few weeks ago you said there was plans to have an appeal over in the UK. I don't know if there's any kind of new information on that, but regardless, where do you turn now with Conor Benn?
I think that Conor Benn has plenty of options. You know, some are realistic, some are not realistic. You know, you saw Danny Garcia come out in the week, and, you know, I think that that's a great fight. Danny Garcia has huge credibility in the US, huge credibility in the UK. One of our preferred fights is actually Marios Barros. You know, he's WBC interim welterweight world championship. That's a fight that could put him in a great position at 147 pounds. Obviously, there's the Eubank debacle. There's Liam Smith. There's Kell Brook. They're all UK fights that we'll see if a possible pending this appeal coming up.
Is that coming up? Like, I mean,
it's been done. It's been done. So we wait on a decision.
You're waiting on a decision.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is apparently, I don't know, 2 weeks. But we've heard 2 weeks many times before. Yeah. So it's imminent.
And you're optimistic?
Yeah, as we've been told. I mean, he won the case. Been told that he'll win the appeal, but anything can happen. So that will determine where he fights next. If it's in the UK, then, you know, the names that I mentioned are all possible. But if it's in the US, it'll be more of a specific opponent. Mm. But, you know, I do like the Marios Barros fight. I think it's a really competitive fight and a fight that really will position him at world honours rather than just a big name, you know?
Yeah, and Barros is probably going to become the full champion because I don't think Terence Crawford's going to fight him. And eventually the WBC, I would imagine, would move him up. And he's not going to get that Boots Ennis fight now because it sounds like Cody Crowley is in line for that fight. So that's a pretty good fight to make. Straight after this event, you are headed to New York for the press conference of Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney, working with your old pal Oscar for this
kind
event.
Kind of, yeah.
I'm sure they're really asking your opinion on a lot of things right now. I was a little bit surprised this fight got made because you've got two guys that, you know, make a lot of money and have big egos. But
you know, firstly, jokes aside, I'll be there to support Devin and DAZN. You know, a lot of the work has been done by Bill Haney and Oscar. We're there to support him and have been. And it's really Devin's done fantastically well to land this fight because I do think it's the perfect fight for him. I don't think it's an easy fight, by the way. I think actually the style of Ryan Garcia is actually quite difficult for Devin in terms of who he could fight. Like, his reflexes are good. He's fast. He can punch. He's young, you know. And I think Devin will have his work cut out. I expect him to win. But I think it's like, I have to take my hat off to Ryan Garcia as well, because he's a big name. He didn't have to take this fight. He fought Tank. He came back with a win. And this is his chance to, you know, really establish himself, win a world title against arguably the most difficult man to beat in boxing now, pound for pound. You know, Devin is a fantastic tactician, a very bright fighter. I actually love the move to take the fight to the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. I think, you know, people saying, oh, why is this fight not in Vegas? Not every fight has to go in Las Vegas. And if Canelo boxes there on May the 4th, you know, why not take it to New York? Brooklyn and Barclays Center is a great venue, and I think it'll do really well.
That fight is for a 140-pound title. You recently signed Subriel Matias, who has another version of that belt. What are your plans for Matias over the next couple of fights? I was reading Liam Paro now out of...
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, look, matching Subriel Matias is not easy. Like, when I signed him, the amount of people that came up to me in boxing and went, wow, now that is a major
signing. I've heard similar things. There's
he's a real
tough,
bad man.
Yeah.
I mean, so for me, I want to give him that homecoming fight in Puerto Rico in June, get him a top 15 name, really start pushing his profile, because you see in boxing, everybody's going to use the excuse of, oh, you know, not enough people know who he is. Do you know what I mean? Not enough people know who, you know, what's the value in fighting him, even with a world title, because that's the excuse I would make if I didn't represent Subriel Matias.
Well, you went through this with Demetrius Andrade for about 4 years.
Exactly, yeah, but the difference with this is Demetrius is tricky. Subriel is dangerous.
Yeah.
And I don't know a lot of people, big names, that will be willing to put it on the line against him for the title. Even though, like, if he didn't have a title, he'd be in no man's land. But he's got a world title. That gives him a lot of leverage. Now what we've got to do is increase his profile. Shout with a megaphone. Let everybody know this is a real... You know, a Puerto Rican great. We've got to take him home to Puerto Rico. We've got to do 15,000 tickets. He's got to be in a fantastic fight, thrill the audience, and then we move with momentum to try and secure a bigger name for the next one. And if that's not a unification fight, it's a Regis Progre, or it's a Jose Ramirez, or it's, you know, those kind of guys, you know, even a Jack Catchrell, Josh Taylor winner, you know. And I'm this guy will fight anyone. And he's one of those guys that you represent and you know you can just throw in. And he's got a great, great chance in every fight that exists in boxing.
I'm sure Richson Hitchens, who listens to this show, is wondering where he fits in
well,
in that
mandatory
mix. He fights
potentially, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So is that something?
Yeah, that's a shoo-in, really. Yeah. I mean, you know, his fight against Lemos is a final eliminator. And if Richardson wants to fight Matias, look, that's a really good matchup. Because Richardson is an outstanding fighter, smart fighter. And although Matias is strong and dangerous and a huge puncher, Richardson's very difficult to beat. You know, almost like the same kind of score as Devin. I mean, look, the winner of Devin Haney against Ryan Garcia against Subriel Matias in a unification is another big matchup. But that's a really risky fight. But Devin and Richardson, they're the kind of guys with the skills that are going to cause Subriel probably the most issues.
Are you and Devin going to be able to avoid Sandro Martin to keep that belt?
Well, you know, I think
that's tough.
They've got him to you know, have a rest and stand by, but it won't last forever.
Yeah.
But, you know, I want to see unifications. I want to see people win all the belts, but at the same time, you want to see the best fights, you know. And even Catchrell against Taylor, we sold out on the first day, you know, like 10, 11,000 tickets.
Incredible, yeah.
No belt, you know, great narrative, great history, but it just shows you. Javonte against Ryan, you know, no belt. But every fighter wants to win a world championship. Every fighter wants to unify.
Spicy press tours for both.
Absolutely.
Certainly. Let's talk about this card coming up on Saturday night. You have had a lot of fun antagonizing Keyshawn Davis when it comes to Andy Cruz.
Yeah.
I think I saw a video of you saying basically you'll fight him for effectively free. You'll pay Andy Cruz, send him over to ESPN, do a fight with Keyshawn Davis. Andy looked great his last time out. That's, to me, that was exactly what you needed to see from Andy Cruz. Get an early knockout and start to build his profile. But you've experienced this with young fighters. And even though Andy's on a fast track, how do you get guys to fight him?
Well,
because that's,
you know,
that's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, it's the same thing we talked about Subriel Matias. Like, they'll use the excuse of, oh, he's a Cuban, no one knows who he is. Like, a lot of people are talking about Andy Cruz. And, you know, I found it really interesting that Keyshawn was told off last night. You know, he put a tweet out saying, send me an offer straight after the fight and I accept it. And he deleted it about 10 minutes later.
It's a Javante move.
Which is basically a phone call from Top Rank to say, take that down now. Do you know what I mean? And listen, Keyshawn would fight him. No doubt. He's a fighter, you know. But he will be told by Brad Goodman and people who really know their boxing over at Top Rank.
Your pal Carl Moretti.
No way. We are not going near Andy Cruz. So we're going to have some fun with it. And I don't do that to use Keyshawn's name, because with all due respect, I'd be using Devin's name or, you know, Teofimo's name or, you know, Tank's name or anybody around 135. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, there is history there. There is narrative. I believe we can't lose that fight. Mm. So I am going to make him an offer that's going to make him extremely uncomfortable. And I'm going to say, you know, almost to a point where you could actually pay him nothing. We'll come for free and I'll pay. Just stick him on a headline on ESPN and see what happens. But we all know what's going to happen. You know, they'll never take the fight. So we can't base our career back around Keyshawn Davis, especially when he's beaten, what, four times? 4-0 in the amateurs and the Olympics. So, but this is actually a tougher fight for Andy. Like, Zamarripa can move a bit. Like, Strafon in the last fight just came, like, he just actually walked Strafon down. Normally, it's in reverse, you know? And
that was impressive.
It was
like
really
impressive. Seeing this the evolution.
Be, yeah, this will be trickier because Zamarripa can actually box off the front and back foot. And I thought, you know, many thought people would beat Tashi Fierro in Tijuana. It's a very close fight. So we'll see how he looks this Saturday.
All right, last thing for you is Edgar Berlanga. Let's start with his last fight. How did you feel about that performance against Jason Quigley?
Solid. You know, I mean, you know, he dropped him, didn't he, early in the fight. And if he gets him out of there right then, it's a real statement. Ends up going the full distance, drops him again or hurts him badly in, the 12th. Been out of the ring for a long time. I think this fight's going to tell us a lot more because I think McCrory is a lot more dangerous than Jason Quigley. Jason Quigley, technically, maybe more sound, certainly a better amateur pedigree, been boxing for longer. But McCrory's big, strong 168. Quigley was coming up from middleweight. McCrory can really punch. It just comes down to how good he is under that kind of pressure at that level. But what I'm looking for is a spectacular performance, because if I'm going to bang from the rooftops, you know, scream and shout for him to go on and fight, you know, a massive fight with Canelo or Munguia, he's got to make a statement. And it's if he makes a statement here, it'll be really explosive, because these two will meet in the middle of the ring and they can both really hit.
Is it fair to say that a outcome similar to Jason Quigley would be kind of a loss for Edgar
Berlanga? Yeah, I think so. I mean, he has to be exciting. You know, listen, McCrory is top five in the world with some governing bodies. So any kind of victory is positive. But for me to be able to really push those mega fights, I need a statement for Edgar Berlanga in Orlando on Saturday.
If Canelo fights in the PBC universe in his next fight, how confident are you that Berlanga Munguia will be the next fight for both?
Yeah, to be honest, it's such a great natural fight. You know, I believe it's a 50-50, Mexico against Puerto Rico.
But you don't sound confident that it can it be will
no,
it be
I think
made.
It will, but I think Canelo may fight Munguia next.
Really?
Or Berlanga. Yeah, I mean, I just don't.
It all comes back to that.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it all depends on Canelo. But look, if Canelo doesn't, it has to be Munguia against Berlanga. You know, and that should be the final eliminator for Canelo Alvarez. But we've got two incredible, exciting opponents ready to go on the zone for Canelo Alvarez. One is Berlanga, one is Munguia. But Edgar's got to, like I said, make that statement on Saturday to put his name in the hat.
Took your kids to Disney World down here, didn't you?
Oh, mate. One's behind me. But I will never moan about being on my own in a hotel again, because having my kids here this week, listen, it's been a great experience, but wow. Universal Studios till about 9 o'clock last night, and then Benny Harner's. I got in about 11.
Wow.
Never worked so hard.
That is the most American experience you can possibly
get. Just stick me on a plane to Saudi. I'll just travel every day. It's a lot easier.
Eddie, I appreciate it.
Cheers, mate.
And when we come back, my conversation with Edgar Berlanga.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe will win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Now, I'm supposed to talk here about what I remember and what I loved about my first car. And that's easy for me to do because I still have my first car. And as long as it keeps running, and so far so good, I intend to have that car probably until the day I die. That's how much I love that car. It is like a child to me. Now, it does require some upkeep, and that's why I'm grateful for a place like eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Explore a wide selection of luxury spirits, wine, and champagne at reservebar.com. Elevate your gifting this year with rare and exceptional bourbons, tequilas, scotch, wine, champagne, with personalized engraving, exceptional glassware, and more. From wines to whiskeys, there's a bottle for everyone. For a limited time, save $20 on your order of $150 plus with the code IHEART at reservebar.com.
All right, Edgar, just finished pre-fight press conference. Anything feel different about this fight?
My mentality, you know, my mental feels a lot different. I feel like I had a fucking great camp. Sorry for cursing.
Nope.
I had a great camp.
Free to curse here.
I had a great camp. So that's why I'm like, I'm happy, man. My weight is good. Camp went amazing. For the first time, man. Because, you know, a lot of fighters go through a lot in camp, you know, with injuries and, you know, getting sick, you know, because of the immune system and stuff. You know, a lot of real fighters understand it. So, you know, we was injury free, you know, sick, you know, we haven't got sick. So, you know, that's the most important thing. I'm just happy, man. I'm excited. You know, it is a big weekend for me. Orlando, this is little Puerto Rico, as I call it, because, you know, all the Puerto Ricans move from Puerto Rico over here. So it's going to be a big night, man.
You called Orlando your second home this week. Does it feel that way?
Yeah, for sure. You know, my whole family lives out here. My grandmother lives out here. All my aunts, uncles, cousins. Like, besides New York, I have a lot of family that live out here, you know, and they're Puerto Rican. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, it's going to be a lot of flags, a lot of Puerto Rican flags out there tonight, Saturday. Yeah, man, I'm excited.
So when you talk about being injury-free, how banged up have you been going into previous fights, and how do you feel that's affected your performances?
You know, first and foremost, with the whole, when I tore my bicep with Corsettis in Vegas, you know, that injury, I tell this to everybody, man, I don't wish that on no fighter, man. Like, tearing a bicep in a fight, the amount of, you know, therapy you have to get on it is insane, bro. And it's like, if you don't maintain it, it'll just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. So, you know, I'm happy that, you know, this camp, you know, for the 5 months we've been training, we've been attacking that, like, heavy, you know what I'm saying? And I'm good. I feel strong, man. Like, I feel great. I'm in great spirits. You know, going into camp, you know, you got to understand, like, see the last fight with Quigley. A week and a half before the fight, I blew my hamstring out. Sprinting on the treadmill for my last, you know, set of sprints, trying to get my – and then – with the elbow thing again and the bicep. So it was like, it was just a lot, bro. And then my weight. So it was like, then I was just getting back with Mark, with my first trainer. So it was like, it was a lot going on, you know. But I'm happy that, you know, I came right back. I moved to Tampa. I got out of New York. And I'm here, man. Yep.
Blowing your hamstring out sounds like a pretty serious issue. Like, yeah, I mean, a lot of athletes they need to take a lot of time off when something like that happens.
Yeah, in front of Jesus, man. You know, when I blew it, I was sprinting and I just felt the pull bad. Mm. Boom! And I jumped off the treadmill. My dad was screaming at me, "Why the fuck?" Because I felt good, bro. And I was sprinting like on 15.0 on the treadmill. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't walk and I'm like, I started panicking. I had a black and blue on my hamstring in the back of my leg. I couldn't run. I couldn't do shit, bro. It was like that whole week and a half, close to 2 weeks, it was like bad, bro. Like mm-hmm. We couldn't run. I couldn't do no step over. It was a lot, bro. I had to do fucking, you know, treatment therapy every day, twice a day, mm-hmm. like trying to get it right, you know?
Did that impact your movement in that fight against Quigley? Did it impact how you had to fight?
Yeah, 1,000%. You know, my legs just felt like cement feet after that, mm-hmm. you know? And if you know, when you blow a hamstring out, it's tough, man. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. You know, I couldn't even get sparring. I was supposed to spar at least twice, mm-hmm. twice more time after that happened. I couldn't. Mm-hmm.
When you beat Quigley, you beat him convincingly. You knock him down 4 times. You get a decision. You go 12 rounds for the first time in your career. But because of what you accomplished early in your career, whenever you don't get a knockout, people wonder, what happened to Edgar Berlanga's power? Is he still that same guy? Could you feel some of that even after the Quigley fight?
Yeah. I felt it less more, mm-hmm. you know, because obviously I dropped him 4 times. So, mm-hmm. but, you know, people got to understand, like, Quigley came in tremendous shape for that fight.
He had a game plan, too. Yeah, he fought differently than he fought against Andrew.
1,000%. Anybody, like, well, the way we were studying him was, like, different. And, you know, what Andy Lee said, he said, they thought we was going to come in, mm-hmm. like, the old Edgar. And we came in, you know, different. So, mm-hmm. you know, I know every fighter's going to come in like this guy this weekend. You know, Patrick is his biggest fight of his career. He keeps saying it. This is a life-changing fight. So I know every fighter that I fight feels the same exact way. You get mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's why we got to be on point. We got to stay 10 toes down. We got to be sharp because, mm-hmm. you know, anything can happen in boxing in a split second. You know, you get hit with a shot you don't see, or if you're not training properly because you think, I'm going to walk through this guy. Mm-hmm. This guy's easy work. And then shit happens, mm-hmm. you know, so we prep very well for each fighter.
That 16 fight first round knockout streak made you a big name early on in your career, but as you look back at it now, was there a curse element to it, because you raised expectations to a completely unrealistic level?
Yeah, I know, and it's crazy because my career is crazy. You know, you catch first 16 fights, first round knockouts, and then you go the distance five times in a row. It's crazy, but you know, I needed this, and I always say this is God's plan. You know, mm-hmm. it isn't my plan. I think everything happens for a reason. Like, I truly believe that. Like, when God wants something or for you to go a certain way, He's gonna make everything possible for you to go that way. You mm-hmm. know, and I'll leave it in His hands. You know, I didn't lose no power. I didn't lose no strength. None of that. You know, obviously the competition got better. And, you know, and now I'm with Mark, and it's like now you can't just go out there just blowing guys out. Now you got to look for those shots. You got to use the IQ. You got to have that willpower. You have to have that mental, you know, where to set your shots up mm-hmm. and land good shots and get them out of there, break them down if you have to, and then eventually get them out of there. So that's what we've been working on now. You know, it's a different ballgame now. You know, I'm at that elite level mm-hmm. where I have to do that, you know. And how I was fighting before, you know, that wasn't it, mm. you know, just going in there and just bombing dudes out. You know, that's not boxing. Mm. So, you know, now, you know, it's a different time now, you know.
Second training camp in a row now, working with Mark. What kind of difference has that make, having had him back in your life, back in your career?
One is the mental. We always speak about mental. He always pushes me mentally, like, every day. Like, even days, like, when I'm sparring, like, there was a day when I was sparring in this camp, right, and I didn't feel good. And I told him, like, in the second round, I was like, yo, Mark. And I had, like, 3 guys. I had Najee Lopez. I had that Ra-Ra Saint. And I had a guy named Patrick Corda that lined up. And I looked at them. I was like, dude, we got to do 12 rounds today. I was like, fuck. And I didn't feel good at all, bro. And I'm in the second round in the sparring. I'm like, yo, Mark, I don't feel good. He's like, all right, mm-hmm. you got to push. I'm like, all right. The eighth round come. Mark was like, yo, we good. Eight rounds is good. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I didn't feel good. And I stopped him. I said, nah, Mark. I got to do these 12. Mm-hmm. Let me break this shit, right? Even though I don't feel good, you know, obviously, because we in camps, and you got certain days where you off, and, you know, we push, man. So that's one of the main things that I have the connection with Mark, is that he pushes me mentally, you know, and then everything else comes after that. You mm-hmm. know, once your mental's right, the boxing becomes easy. You know, once you have that mental fortitude, and also, you know, working with his brother, Ray Ferrite, you know, if you don't know him, Ray Ferrite is his brother. He was supposed to be the biggest thing coming out of, you know, New York behind, you know, Mike Tyson, and, you know, something happened with him, an incident, and, you know, he couldn't box no more. But, you know, I have him in my corner as well, and, you know, he pushes me mentally, you know, and then everything comes after that, brother.
The guy you're fighting, Patrick McCrory, I've watched a lot of his fights over the last couple of weeks. In the fights I've seen, he's a banger. Like, he comes out, especially early on, looking to fight. Are you expecting him to fight that way?
Oh, of course. You know, he has a game plan, you know, and we know that. So even if he comes out to bang, right, I know that once I touch him or he feels any type of, like, power, even with the jab, I know his game plan is going to change. You know, even, like, if he tries to come out and fight. But a lot of these guys are going to try to come around, move around. You know, he's going to probably try to mix it up a little bit, keep moving, using his legs. I feel like he don't have the legs that Quigley got. You know, Quigley had tremendous legs. He doesn't have that because he relies on that right hand and those uppercuts. You know, so he's going to get it either way. You know, whether he tries to move around as much as he wants or if he tries to bang. You know, we there for that too. So bite down on our mouthpiece, you know what I'm saying, and just dig deep. And just dig deep and break his body down.
Everyone knows what you want. You want the big fights. You want Canelo. You want Jaime Munguia. Eddie Hearn just moments ago said, if you look spectacular in this fight, you deserve a shot against Canelo in May. Canelo, as we speak, does not have an opponent set for May. Do you think about that at all when you're preparing for a fight? Does that in your mind about how you're going to fight on Saturday night?
Yeah, so like during camp, you know, I think about everything, you know, all these fighters and stuff, but I try to like zone in on my fighter, on the guy I'm fighting, because none of that is possible unless I get through this weekend. You get what I'm saying? And none of this is possible if I don't get through this guy in a fashionable way, the way we want it, you know, superstar status this weekend. So I got to look great. I got to perform. I got to look like a superstar this weekend, man. Shine like a bright diamond, you know, shut all the critics up, set everybody up, put the 168 division on notice, call out Canelo after we beat this dude, you know, call out Munguia and just, you know, and just really turn it up this year.
What does a superstar performance look like to you? In your mind, what is a plus performance from you?
For me, you know, I know I got heavy hands, but it's my boxing ability. You know, it's the way I box, great legs, you know, great jab, great head movement, great feet, you know, and just shine and have fun. You know, once all that, and then your mind is right, your mental's right, sky's the limit, man. And that's what I mean about superstar status. You know what I'm saying? Like going there and just shine, going there and just show and prove everything that I've been fighting for the last 20 years since I was 7 years old, you know, make it out, come to display this weekend.
And this is you at 100%, right? Like no physical issues coming in for the first time in a long time?
Yeah. So I feel good, man. You know, I'm happy. You know, this weekend's a big weekend. Superstar status, I keep saying, man. Superstar status this weekend.
All right. Edgar, good luck to you, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
That's it for this week's episode. My thanks to Eddie Hearn and Edgar Berlanga for joining the show. As always, subscribe, rate, review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you download podcasts. And I'll see you next week.
Thank you so much. I go sleep.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.